Hello, everybody, and welcome to That Millennial Life, a podcast where I talk to millennials about their lives and how they are managing young adulthood. My name is Joe Cole. I am your host. And today on the podcast, I talk to my friend Brian O'Hara, or as he's better known amongst my friends, Bo. You'll hear me call him that a few times in the interview. And yeah, Bo is one of my oldest friends. He lived around the block from me my whole life and still continues to. And I don't know if people who are listening to this right now have listened to the earlier episodes and remember me talking about having an estranged friend who I am not as close with as I once was and how I felt bad about it. And I never mentioned that person by name, but the person I was referring to was Bo. And we get into all that in our conversation and we try to work through it. And we've been recently trying to restore, you know, a friendship, and I think this was a good step in doing that. And also, this was a rough conversation to have because Bri just recently suffered a loss in his family. So I talked to him about where he's at now, and I just wanted to say that before getting to the conversation, just to warn people that it gets a little heavy. But I think it was helpful for both of us, and I enjoyed the talk. And I hope you do too. So here is my conversation with Brian O'Hara. Make sure when you like, it's talk. Like you can like move it. So you get yourself into a comfortable position and then move the microphone to you. Is that comfortable? Are you going to be wanting to sit up or are you going to want to lean back? Because you could just do this. Or you can pull the chair forward.
Okay.
It's like an arm. What'd you ask me?
I said, are you still a Heat fan?
I don't follow the Heat. Bo, how well do you know me?
Yeah, just making sure. Because I saw the Cavs hat there. Like, yeah. I wonder where he put all the Heat stuff.
I feel as if I get made fun of a lot for being unique in that I support a team based solely off of my fandom of one person rather than growing up with supporting the team. But hey, man,
that's fair.
We all come to we all come to what we love in different ways, right?
I followed Ronaldo to Madrid. I mean, Man U still first, but...
And now, wait, so isn't the reason why you started supporting Man U was because of Ronaldo, and now you're still... Oh, no.
No, it's when I visited Shannon when she was studying abroad.
When was that?
I was like 6 or 7.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so you found out who Man... Why didn't you ever... I didn't remember that being a thing until later.
What, like Man U?
Like, yeah, you talking about them and being a fan of them.
Well, that's because, like... I followed him from a distance, but not like as intense.
Yeah.
But then once we got Fox Soccer Channel in like 5th grade.
Oh, really? That was
That's when I was able to watch him all the time and like really get into him more.
Who was on that team when you were 6 and 7? Do you remember?
Beckham.
Oh, Giggs, wow. Neville. Yeah. And then he went to Real too, right? He did a Ronaldo thing.
Beckham? Yeah, but there's all sorts of controversy about that.
What's that?
Well, him and Sir Alex Ferguson got in a fight and then Sir Alex Ferguson kicked a boot or a cleat across the room, hit Beckham in the eye. He needed stitches. There's all sorts of craziness.
So you're saying Ronaldo didn't leave in a contentious way?
No, no.
It was peaceful.
Yeah.
And Beckham?
Beckham was too much of a superstar or like a celebrity.
Was he still in his prime when he left?
Yeah, he was still a solid player. Mm. Nowhere near like the quality Ronaldo is, but a lot of people call Beckham overrated. But he's still...
Do you call Beckham overrated? Is it because he's flashy and he could do the curve thing? Is that why he gets so much...
That's his claim to fame, but also like... he
or the bend. Sorry, bend.
Yeah, bend. Yeah, but he made it like a... he turned himself into a brand. So he saw the other opportunities besides just
by marrying
sport.
One of the Spice Girls. That's what sealed the deal.
Yeah, and then...
It's like the Kanye Kim powerhouse.
Yeah.
Would they be as big of a thing if it wasn't them together? I wonder if Kanye like was just like, I need to marry her because she's Kim Kardashian, or if there's actually love there.
So our kids can be even more famous.
It's like Jay-Z married Beyonce. Like, I need to marry another woman who's influential, but not as influential in a positive way, in my opinion.
No, absolutely. That's some nonsense.
Yo, you know what I was thinking about? Was the essay you wrote for Portis about why the EPL, remember we had to write the persuasive essay or the opinion essay, and you wrote why EPL is the best soccer league in the world?
Oh, yeah.
Does that still hold up?
Because
you said that, like, at the time they had, like, the most recent championships, and they had Ronaldo, who was the best player according to some thing. What is that?
The FIFA World Player of the Year.
Yeah.
At that time, yeah.
And then was it also historically, too, they had the most?
Well, if you want to look at it, there's a lot of ways you can look at it. And this is a debate that rages in the soccer world. I mean, La Liga, the top teams in La Liga are better than the top teams in England.
Yeah.
But as a league, yeah, England is much more competitive. If you look at Spain.
Because there's more better teams.
There's more good teams and right, more even playing field.
Yeah.
I mean, you look at Spain, you'll have Real Madrid or Barcelona winning every year.
Yeah.
Or Atletico Madrid, they're a solid team. They've slipped in their past couple of years. But before that, nothing since 2002. And before that, I don't even know. Just Real Madrid or Barca.
Yeah.
But with England, you got Man U, Arsenal, Chelsea, Liverpool, Man City, all who can contend for it. Tottenham this year. And then this year, Leicester is in prime position to win it. A team that was in dead last year.
So the EPL is more of a crapshoot.
It's more competitive.
Yeah,
it's more open. It's more exciting.
What percentage of the time in like recent history has a team other than Barcelona or Real won? Like past 20 years?
That I know of, Atletico in 2013, Valencia in like 2002.
Yeah.
And that's all I really know.
Yeah.
But besides that, just the two.
Yeah. That's like no other sport. Yeah. Because like there's powerhouses in other leagues. Like, you have the Yankees, Red Sox, but, like, it's not like they win every year.
Yeah.
I wonder why that is. How does that happen that they are always the best ones?
Because, well, like, with...
Is it a money thing?
It's a money thing and the contract, TV contracts. Like, in Spain, that's the big difference. Like, the teams are up to them individually figure out their contract agreements with TV for TV rights.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, obviously, no one wants to pay for, like, a team like... Rayo Vallecano, some crappy team. Like, they're not going to negotiate for those games on TV because no one wants to watch that.
Right.
Whereas Real Madrid and Barca leverage like their club to just get higher prices and get massive contracts and TV deals. Whereas now, like in England, though, it's all like it's a league that does the rights.
Right.
And same with like the MLB, the NFL. It's like all those leagues are. It's like a league deal with the TV companies, not a team deal. So that's like, it keeps it more open, competitive, just money flowing into all teams rather than like...
And there's no cap, right?
No, there's no salary cap, which is great.
And that's a baseball too. That's a thing, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. So it's just like, yeah, I want to buy Cristiano Ronaldo I'm going to sell my child.
Yeah.
So wait, I don't think I've ever asked you this question. By the way, I'm sitting with my dear friend, dear old friend, Brian O'Hara, who I've probably been friends with longer than just about anyone, I would think. I was friends with Alec in first grade. When did we start hanging out?
Like was third grade? Second or third grade.
We both had Miss Ocher in third grade.
Ocher.
And that was the year Boyd moved here.
Yep.
So that's when it started. Do you have any memories from back then? Isn't it strange the only memory I have from third grade is 9/11?
Yeah, I don't even... Like, memories back then, it's weird.
It's just all...
It's like... You have a couple, like, spats here and there that you think, like, you remember.
Do you remember how or the way in which we hung out in elementary school?
We played wiffle ball in my backyard.
Yeah. Was that in the middle school too? What did we do? I don't even remember.
Rock band.
We did do rock band a lot. Was that middle school?
I think so. And then
I know middle school we started having like the movie nights.
Right. Over at Becky's.
Yeah.
Like, it was like Friday nights or something.
It was 7 to 11 was the time in which we could go out. That was our gap. 11 o'clock curfew.
We'd always throw on like horrible horror movies.
Yeah.
That were just like awful.
Yeah, like Texas Chainsaw Massacre and like Scream 2.
When a Stranger Calls.
The Ring 2.
That one's not bad, though.
When a Stranger Calls was fucking scary. Amityville Horror was scary. Mm-hmm. I felt like the ones, When a Stranger Calls wasn't scary because it was, or was scary because it was suspenseful.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't like a gory, like...
Some dude coming out on a little bike.
It was like, someone's in the fucking house, and that's like a legitimate fear.
Yeah.
Whereas, like, Ring is irrational.
It's a videotape that kills people.
Yeah. Like, what? But you lost me already with the premise. You know what I'm saying?
For sure.
But I don't remember what else we did. I'm trying to think of memories. But remember when we exploded the computer?
Of course.
How did that happen?
We were like down by, I think we were down by Stizes. And Anthony Horan and Kenny Brundo were like walking by and just had some like quarter sticks of dynamite.
Dude, I forgot about that. That we were just talking about dynamite. And he was like, oh, I have dynamite. And we were like, what? Yeah. You're like in seventh grade. How do you have dynamite? He's like, oh yeah, I just got some dynamite. And he gave us dynamite.
Then we went to work.
We went to the park. I remember we found that desktop. Yeah. Someone was throwing it out.
Tim was throwing it out.
Oh, was it Tim? I think we dropped it off of a roof at first to break it open.
To break the screen. Then we stuck the dynamite inside and then...
Was probably a little anticlimactic.
Yeah.
I think we ran away and didn't even see it happen.
Yeah. There might have been like a little movement, but I was expecting a lot more.
Yeah. Nerf gun wars too.
Nerf gun wars.
I'm solely responsible for a lot of damage in your basement. I was a larger, a little more physically awkward person.
A little clumsy.
A little clumsy. There's a lot of scratches and...
Yeah, we got...
Is there still, like, marks down there that are, like, noticeable from me? Like, what?
You got the one as you're coming towards the ping pong table.
Yeah.
Is like a... There's a... On the corner of the wall, there's just a dent, and it's just, like, the wall's completely gone there for, like, it's like a 3-inch mark. I remember you had, like, the sniper rifle. You just went to turn the corner real fast and just smashed it into the wall.
Oh, no.
And then... Off comes the wall.
Oh, like no.
But then you got a couple stains down there, too. But.
Me? Oh, yeah, because I couldn't, my goddamn tremor, I couldn't hang on to a freaking glass of anything. Are there still noticeable stains?
Well, that carpet, you can't tell. That's just a magic carpet.
Yeah, yeah.
Who knows the shit that's on that?
get a black light down there. It'd be like a... Jackson Pollock painting. That's I stole that line from Guardians of the Galaxy that apparently Chris Pratt improvised.
Damn.
IMDb trivia can tell you a lot.
Yeah. Shit.
Oh god, I was really coming into this wanting to remember more. When we were in middle school, I have trouble with this. Is like in middle school, I have a rough time recalling like where I even was in terms of like what was. Where my head was at and of like, okay, do you remember generating thoughts of like, okay, this is what life is like?
No.
Or is it just like going through it?
It's just like, oh, today I'm going to go outside and play with my friends.
Yeah, you don't
play some sports, do something. Like, yeah, like you don't even think about big picture stuff.
Yeah.
Or at least I didn't.
I definitely didn't.
Yeah.
And then you realize life is more than just tearing down your jungle gym in your backyard.
Oh, that was great.
What?
That was great.
I don't even remember. I remember laughing, but I don't even remember what for, what reason, while that was going on. Why did we even do that? There was you had a wooden jungle gym that was just rotting that we just got to go to work on with hammers.
Yeah, the thing was like 15 years old and just falling apart. And my mom, my mom had the plan of like, she wanted to do something else with that space because we were all too, obviously, in like, I don't know, middle school. Too old for a swing set at that point.
Yeah.
So she's like, yeah, we're getting rid of the end of summer, so we went to town on it. I think we tried to build it into like a kind of a fort thing, which we did all right.
Yeah.
But yeah.
A lot of forts in childhood. But yeah, anyway, so wait, I do the traveling thing. How much did you travel before graduating high school? Were you out a lot?
I've been to... Before graduating high school, I'd been to England Ireland, Scotland, Switzerland, Canada. That doesn't really count.
Oh, Canada. I've only been to Mexico.
And that was like recently, right?
Yeah, that was this summer, this past summer.
Yeah, man.
My dad is afraid of flying, which is an irrational fear because you have no control over it.
Yeah, but you're still like hurling in a metal tube across the sea.
The funny thing is like watching this like big man take like the table that folds down in front of you and like grabbing on that with his fingertips as if like if we crashed, that would somehow save him.
Hey man, people got to do what they got to do to try to stay calm.
For a man who is not afraid of most things in life, I could see how being in a situation where you have no control over it is the thing that can make you most afraid.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes sense.
Mm. So, soccer. We were talking about soccer. You were a person who played soccer in high school and soccer in college.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, when did you start like really proactively and intensely taking an interest to the professional soccer? Because like, no matter how much I try to describe it, the way in which, the amount in which you like dedicate yourself to like knowing the ins and outs of like the entire world of professional soccer, like it's like, I don't even know if I've made it that apparent on this show, but like your love and research of soccer is even more so than mine of movies. Like you are in deep.
Damn.
Can you explain what your daily routine at the most you've been invested? Are you still just as invested in like knowing what's going on as you were?
I try to be, but I'm not nowhere near as much as I used to be because
of work.
Work.
Yeah.
Like,
but work. So wait, at the most, like what would that look like?
At the most, I would be checking the top soccer like websites like ESPN, Goal.com, like FootyTube, all that stuff. I'd be checking it multiple times a day.
Yeah.
Like I still do check it multiple times a day, but like for instance in the summer when I was in like, I don't know, freshman year, sophomore year of high school, wake up, first thing I do, go to the computer room, read all the articles because over in Europe, they come out like six hours before us. So by the time you wake up, got the whole, like half the day's worth of events plus last night's, I'll read all that, literally pretty much every single article on the thing. And then I go to the next site, check it all, cross-reference, make sure there's no nonsense making, because like some companies and make up bullshit just to get read like headlines and people to read them.
Yeah.
So you gotta
clickbait bullshit.
Yeah, basically. But then also like read good pieces about teams' tactics, like potential trades, all that stuff. Strategies for next year.
Did you ever have? Because I was whenever doing, because that's pretty much the same thing I do, but just for like the entertainment industry. I'll check out IMDb and Rolling Stone and all other types of Vulture and whatever you name it, AV Club and all. Do you ever like? Do you ever? Being like, I'm gonna write something. I'm gonna send it in.
Yeah. I mean, I've had that like thought a couple times.
Yeah.
But like, I never just got to actually doing it.
Yeah.
You know, but like, it's definitely something I considered a lot to do, but I just never actually did it. And I saw there was what's it called? There's a site called like, it's like T90 or something like that. Like soccer, it's like a soccer title and soccer site. And I saw they had an internship open. And I was like, oh, great. And like they wanted someone based out of North America.
Right.
So I was like, sweet. So I applied to it. They wrote back to me and they're like, oh, yeah, like awesome. We're actually looking to expand like the American sports, like baseball, basketball, football. So like we want you to do that.
No.
And I was like, well, fuck.
Yeah.
I mean, I love those sports, but I'm not looking to like write articles about them. But so that was the farthest I went, and I was like, oh well.
Didn't you want to do that at one point? Are you still like interested in doing that?
Yeah, I mean, I'm definitely in the job I'm doing right now. I'm in sport, in the business of sports. So it's.
Wait, are you?
Yeah.
How so?
Well, my company is called League Apps, League Apps.
Yeah.
So what we do is.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, we're an online platform.
You told me this. I'm just a bad memory.
No worries. It's a software platform to manage a youth sports program. So like you're like a little league would use us to like do their registrations, and like collect payments and sell like team gear, all sorts of crap like that.
It's a startup.
Yeah.
When did it start? when did it start up?
Well, it started in like 06 originally as Sports Fight.
Mm-hmm.
And that was supposed to be a social network for adults to find like other people to play sports with, like mm-hmm. to form leagues and stuff like that. And then Facebook came along and put that to shame. But they still had like a couple hundred thousand users. So they took the insight from all those people who are all like sports organizers and what they need the most, what like takes some time. And they're mm-hmm. like, shit, well, let's build this platform that can do all that for them.
Right.
So then they built the platform and we became League Apps in 2010.
Right.
And now this past year is when it's really taken off. We have investors from like the MLB, the LA Dodgers, and what's his face? David Robinson.
Oh.
He invests in our company.
Admiral?
Yeah, the Admiral.
Admiral?
His son works with me.
No way.
Yeah. He's a good dude.
How old is he?
He's our age.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What's he like?
He's a real, like, the nicest kid. Like, totally would never think he grew up, like, one of the most famous basketball players ever as his dad.
That's crazy.
Like, he's, like, a totally down-to-earth dude. He's got a fro. Just kind of chilling. Like, he always kind of seems like he's high. Just, like, the way, like, his, like...
Very calm.
Yeah, he's always, like, super calm, super, like, happy. Mm-hmm. He's a great dude.
Wow. I would just ask him questions all the time, but then he'd probably not like me.
Mm-hmm. Nah, I mean, but then that's the thing. Like, David Robinson comes, like, the senior comes into the office sometimes.
Oh, you've seen him?
Yeah.
Is he huge?
Big dude.
Is the son big?
Yeah, but he's like, I don't know, like 6'3", 6'4". Nothing too big.
Yeah, that's not bad. Short compared to them. Yeah. Admiral's, well, probably like 7 feet.
Nah. Oh, yeah, for sure. But yeah, DRJ is a...
DRJ?
David Robinson Jr.
No way.
Yeah, so we call him DRJ.
Oh, that's fantastic. That's fantastic. So when did you start there?
I was interning there in second week of November, and then went to full time.
Oh, during school? No.
No, no, no.
Oh, yeah.
And then turn of the new year, I went to full time
mm-hmm.
sales position, like real job.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, here
it's been
I am.
Good.
Love it.
But anyway, all right, let's cut the crap. Do you mind if we cut the crap?
Sure.
I want to, you know, thank you for coming on. Because I asked you to come on like a few months ago and you said you wanted to wait for things to calm down, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the reason for that is, and I don't think you would mind me saying this. Can I just say it?
Yeah, no. go for it.
You very sadly and unexpectedly lost your dad a few months ago.
Yeah.
And so that was the night of the Oscars, the day of the Oscars. So yeah. It was like, what? 2 months ago?
February 28th, so.
Yeah.
Just about.
A little less than 2 months. So, okay. So, what I want to say is, like, holy fuck, dude. Thank you for agreeing to come on, like, that quick after, and, like, be willing to talk to me about it and communicate. And I know, like, I asked you, like, a month ago if you'd be willing to come on, and you're like, maybe let's just wait a little. Wait just till everything calms down. But yeah, I can't imagine because I know it was unexpected, but I just want to... The reason I wanted to bring it up is not just to talk about it from the standpoint of like, oh, this is like an interesting thing, like, you know, this... To have someone on a podcast who just has... so recently gone through this, like, it's not something you hear. Like, a lot of people who talk about that kind of thing is like, it's been years, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So like, with it to be this ripe, kind of, I think maybe is a word,
yeah,
that I could use.
Fresh wound.
Yeah. That's what? I thought that would be interesting, but like, that's not the reason I wanted to talk about that, because I wanted to talk about it to see just like where you're at now, because you're a 23-year-old person who like had to go through that. And also because I wanted to talk about it from the standpoint of what I was thinking about while it was going down about our relationship. But first, just like, where are you at right now? Like, how are you doing? How are you? Because I don't think I've asked you that in a while, because, like, obviously, you know, directly after it happened, I was like, how are you doing?
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's weird. Like, sometimes I'm really good, sometimes I'm really bad. It goes in waves.
Mm-hmm.
For me, the key has been keeping busy.
Mm-hmm.
I've been, like, work has been a welcome distraction.
Mm-hmm.
Because it keeps my mind working all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the thing, when you're just kind of sitting there with nothing to do, that's when it kind of hits you a little more, and you're like,
yeah.
And you're like starting, like, I mean, not that you don't realize, but it's just like, that's when like the sad thoughts like come back into it.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, overall, I'm doing all right. I mean, we all have our moments for sure.
Yeah.
But as a family, I think we're hanging in there pretty well.
Yeah.
As well as we could be doing.
Yeah. Is your sister, they're living in New York, all of them? Where's your sister? So you have three older sisters.
Yeah, so.
You're the young boy.
Yep.
The little boy.
So, oldest sister Shannon is in Murray Hill.
And she's a writer?
In the city. She is the assistant VP of marketing at Swiss Re. Or Swiss Re.
Oh, wow.
It's like, but she also has like a book that she's finishing up too.
The new great American novel.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll hope. And then Meg is just got a new job doing event planning for Oppenheimer funds.
Mm-hmm.
And then Heather is doing, research for AC Lyon,
mm-hmm.
which is a recruiting firm, and she's living in the city as well. Oh yeah. Meg lives in Hoboken.
Right.
And Heather's moving to Argentina in a couple months.
Right. Because her boyfriend's from there?
Yep. So for us, like for all of us, it's been like work has been great.
Yeah. Has it been hard to like be in the house with just you and her and not you and your mom and like not them there?
No, it's not that they're my older sisters and we're all very close.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I was the youngest, so I grew up with all of them going off to college,
so it's living in different. Seems normal.
Yeah, so like that from that aspect, it's fine.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the biggest gap is that when I come home from work and have dinner, it's me and my mom, and not me, my mom, and my dad. So mm-hmm. that's like the biggest thing.
So when you, I don't want to make you think too negatively about it,
mm-hmm.
but like when you're in your negative funk, are the extent of the thoughts just like, wow, this sucks? It's not more than that. It's just like, wow, this sucks. This happened. Or is it, what is like the.
No, I mean, yeah, it sucks. This happened.
Yeah.
But that's not the. It's more of me thinking about things I could have done bad, like different in the past.
Right.
Because, like, oh, if I had that moment back to do this,
mm-hmm.
I would have done it, or like mm-hmm. that kind of stuff.
Regrets of being able to had spend more time with him or
yeah, all that kind of stuff.
But then do you get in the mindset of like what's happened just happened, we can't change the past, like I knew he loved me, I loved him, he knows I loved him, so like I have to get on.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it is. Like, but when I'm in my down funk, like that's what I'm
what percentage
about.
What is good versus bad? Is it really, is it 50-50 or is
oh,
it
oh man. I mean, well, right now, this has been a good month for me because I've been mm-hmm. doing good at work, so that's been keeping my spirits up.
Mm-hmm.
But, like, I don't know, maybe like 75, 25.
Yeah.
Right, like, good right now, but, like last month.
Do you talk to anyone? Have you talked to anyone about, like, having those thoughts of, like, or have you just suppressed them and bottled them in of, like...
I mean, no, me and my sisters and my mom, we've all talked about things and like,
mm-hmm.
But like, that's the thing I've always done, like my whole life is like, look back and regret of like, oh, I should have done this and like kind mm-hmm. of stress about things that already happened.
Right.
Or things that I could have changed.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I can't change them because they already happened, you know?
Especially for someone who doesn't like change as much as you do.
Yeah, no, absolutely not.
Do you want to explain?
If we want to go into that? Yeah, sure.
So like just like an aspect of that?
So I ate the same thing for lunch basically from first grade all the way to through high school.
Every day. Except
Fridays, pizza days, and then chicken patty days mm-hmm. I also bought at Montreal.
So what was that
days.
Lunch?
It was... turkey and lettuce on white bread.
That's it. No mayo, no cheese.
Nothing.
Now you've started to use cheese and mayo, right?
Cheese and mayo. And I actually started doing ham sandwiches now because I'm fed up with turkey and lettuce. It happened. I cracked. I was
you
made
tomatoes? No tomatoes?
I'm not going to request tomatoes on a sandwich, mm-hmm. but if they come there, I'll eat it.
I like tomatoes when they're really thinly sliced because if mm-hmm. it's a thick tomato, the taste of a tomato over dominates the rest of the sandwich. It's just like a thin, it's like a little accent.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It's just like here it is.
Unless it's a BLT.
Yeah. If it's BLT, you got to get tomato.
Yeah.
In there,
but yeah. The rest of it, yeah.
Do you know what's at the psychology? Could you trace back? Do you know maybe not wanting the change? So I want to tell you when I like fully realized this was when, we were talking about Star Wars Episode 7.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about how like Luke and Han and Leia were going to be in it. And you're like, yeah, but they're not going to look like, you know, it's not the real Luke. And I was like, what are you talking about? He's like, and you're like, it's not going to look like what they looked like. I'm like, yeah, but it's going to look like an older version because it takes place 40 years later. So it's going to look like an accurate representation of what they would look like 40 years later. And then I remember thinking like, oh, wow, Bo really doesn't like change. I remember thinking, I was like, wow, it's that deep.
Yeah. I mean,
do you find it with just because at first I always thought it was just like not wanting to try new foods. Like a lot of people don't do that. But do you mm-hmm. think is it more broad than that?
Oh, no. Like, oh, fuck. I have not been a big fan of change my entire life.
So I can't even imagine.
Yeah. I mean,
how that's affecting.
Basically, it's like, it's definitely been a awakening
mm-hmm.
for me in a, I mean, obviously a horrible way, but a really growing up point
mm-hmm.
where it's like, things change, you got to deal with it. Like, mm-hmm. that's life.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, change is not, for me, something I go very hesitant in because, like, for me, I like what I'm doing, so why change it, you know?
It's comfortable.
Yeah, it's comfortable.
I know that I like turkey, so why would I try anything else?
Exactly, you know?
Because maybe you like the other things, Bo.
Maybe you don't.
Yeah.
And that's the
thing. So you're afraid of the negative experience. You're afraid of something not working.
With a lot of things, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And with the food, half the time nowadays, it's just like, they're trying to tell me to try that? No. I just despite that.
It's like, no. That's like when people wanted me to dance at a party. I'm like, no. No.
Yeah.
Or like people want, that's when I first started not drinking as much. People be like, come on, drink. I'd be just like, no.
Yeah.
If you're just straight up like, no, then they're like, ugh. And then they just go away.
And they'll be like,
I think I've heard that as a joke. So maybe that was a Louis C.K. thing. Or if you're just like straight up like, no, they're going to be like, oh, all right. And they just like go away.
At most, they'll be like, come on, just try it. And I'll
come
be like,
on. Nope. Nope. No,
it's not happening. Like,
but food, man, it's not like that's life or death. So I couldn't imagine.
What if
it
you're
is
allergic to that thing? You don't know. Hospital. No.
Well, you are allergic to nuts. Maybe that's what it stemmed from.
Yeah, it could be.
Hmm?
Maybe.
You still are allergic to nuts.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I remember one time remember that we were on a field trip.
The peanut M&M.
Yeah, we were in. Yeah. No, it was a Reese's Pieces.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Shit.
Someone gave, that's why, because it looked like a normal M&M, because they're the same. Mm-hmm. And you just put it in your mouth. And it was just one Reese's Pieces, and you got like a headache and like fell asleep on my shoulder on the bus ride back from one Reese's Pieces.
Got all loopy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I couldn't tell with that one. But normally, like, I can tell if it's like a nut, a peanut, walnut, whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, once it hits my tongue.
Because what are some other close calls?
When I was in Japan...
You went to Japan?
Yeah.
I was
for like the semester at sea thing I did a couple
years
ago.
Oh, yeah.
So I was in Japan for like six days and like backpacked across the country with a couple kids.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, like when it's like English, when it's like Spanish or French, you can have an idea of like, because they use the same letters.
Right, right, right.
But in Japanese, you have fucking no clue what it is.
Oh, well, based on they have what's in it.
The characters.
The menu,
like,
yeah,
so
you
look in the menus, you're like.
Different alphabet.
Yeah. Yeah. So like, you just look at the waiter and they just kind of point to a generic thing that they think you'll like.
Yeah.
And so they whip it out. And then I had it. There were nuts in it. Didn't know. Fucked.
What does fuck mean?
Well, like I had to take a bunch of pills and shit. And then I woke up. So I was like, I didn't have to go to the hospital or anything because I had like a bunch of like pills with me and medicine and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but like I went to sleep and the pills wore up and wore off and I woke up gasping for air. So I had to run down to like the boat's like safety place or whatever. Doctor's office, I guess.
Waking up gasping for air is usually what happens after you did like a lot of drugs.
I'm alive. Yeah. So then we took some more medicine. That was probably the closest call I've had.
Yeah.
Looking back.
Wow.
But
yeah, I wonder if that could be like, did you find out that you were allergic to nuts from eating a nut and then freaking out? Dude, that could be it.
Could be. I ate a nut and fucking everything going nuts, hives, throat closing up, tongue swelling up.
I'm only going to do something that I know will have a good effect after it, where it won't kill me.
Yeah. I mean, it's just like the change thing has never been something I embrace.
Do you look back at any other instances where you didn't do something because you were afraid of change that you wish you did? Is there anything that stands out in your mind?
Any like, I don't know. That's a tough question.
Yeah, isn't it?
I mean, I'm sure there's a lot. There's a lot of things.
Yeah.
But it's...
Because I'm trying to... Because I don't know anything other than like... To be honest, I didn't even know it was anything other than food until that Luke and Leia thing. And I was like, wow. I don't think we ever even talked about that.
Nah, it's just like... Like now I'm kind of really warming up to it and like seeing all the opportunities and shit that change can bring.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas before, it's just like I didn't view it as positive things occurring. It's all the thing, like it was for me, it was like the end of the good things or the good things not being the way they are.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, but also I was brought up in a very like family, and a family that does a lot of traditions.
Mm-hmm.
We had a boatload of traditions and the way things are, and like
that's the way you do them.
Yeah. So like I that's probably what kind of brought me into that. Like for instance, we went to the same. Like vacation every year, same spot.
Right.
For like 10 years, first 10 years of my life, 12 years.
Yeah.
And we, like, every time we had to do the same things, play the same games, and like we had great times.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I don't know. I tradition was kind of instilled in me. So I was like, stuck with that.
Stuck with what you.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I want to get back to when I initially heard what happened, or not even initially heard, after like, you know, the first week following it happening, I remember like talking to like Stav and like Kyle and my dad even about something that I was kind of like unsure of how to go about moving forward with. How to interact with you as a friend.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, towards the end of college and like post college, we didn't, you know, communicate or weren't as active as friends as we were years previous.
Yeah.
For a long time.
For sure.
We were best friends for a fucking long time. And like, probably for the past 2 or 3 years, it just has not been as constant a thing, which we can get into as to why that was.
Mm-hmm.
But I remember after that happened, I remember thinking like, okay, I should probably hang out with Bo a lot. I should probably keep him company. I should probably help him out and support him in this time. And then I started thinking, I wonder if he's thinking, if me continuously hitting him up, I wonder if he views it as me being opportunistic, of being like, okay, this just happens, like, this just happened, and if this didn't just happen, he wouldn't be hitting me up as much as if it hadn't happened. Does he think about that? Is he like, wow, if, like, my dad didn't pass away, like, he wouldn't be texting me, wanting to spend time with me. The only reason he wants to spend time with me is to support me. Where I wasn't coming at it from that angle, because when it happened, it reminded me like, wow, life is fucking short. like, this is my friend. He's my he's like my best friend.
Yeah.
Besides the fact of like needing to support him, why am I not even like friends with him anymore? You know? Like, it made me think of like, what the fuck am I doing? Like, life is so fucking short. Like, I need to, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, I hear you.
So did you have any thoughts of that? And then I thought like, Joe, you are a fucking asshole. Like, he's not thinking of that. All he's thinking about is how this just happened. He's not thinking of like, I wonder where Joe's coming from with wanting to hang out with me. You know what I'm saying?
No, I mean, it's with like after it happened, you hear from everyone.
Yeah.
Everyone, like, with like the support that came out for me and my family was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Like this guy at work, like he's like our mentor kind of person, and he's like, it's when in moments like this you really see who's there for you and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And so like obviously all I viewed it as is you guys being there for me, which is what I needed, you know. I mean, if you're looking back, I mean, maybe like who knows? I mean,
but you weren't thinking that.
I wasn't thinking that.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's just my fucked up man, goddamn brain.
Nah, I mean,
yeah.
But I mean, it's a rational thing to think.
Yeah, and then I remember I asked my dad. I was like, I'm kind of like, don't know what to do here. Like, should I like try to space out? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the, and he's like, I think really all he cares about is getting support. And I was like, yeah, you're probably right.
No, yeah, absolutely. That was the way, like, I viewed it.
And sure. I was like, but like, obviously that's terrible that happened. But it did remind me, like, holy crap. Like, this is my friend. Like, I need to spend time with him and hang out with him and stop being so consumed with myself, and that the people in your life are like what really matters. And if this happened to me and I was continuing to go down this selfish path of like not trying to reach out to friends, like maybe no one would be there for me. You know what I'm saying? So I started thinking of like, wow, this person, my friend, like nothing wrong. So nothing bad ever happened really. So I thought that. I was like, it's fucking stupid that we're not like hanging out anymore. Like, I need to do that. And then I thought, well, I wonder if he's thinking that I'm coming from it from that perspective, or if he's just thinking like, he doesn't really care about me. He just like feels bad. So that's where I was at. And then I thought like, he's not thinking any of that. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Even right now, I like can't even put it in an articulate way, because it's fucking ridiculous.
No, I get where you're coming from, mm-hmm. for sure. But no, it wasn't like viewed like that at all. Like, mm-hmm. it was just appreciating the support. But like over time, and like, I guess with us and like all of us, kind of like the mm-hmm. whole like our whole group,
mm-hmm.
we all just kind of drift apart because change, you know,
mm-hmm.
change, you know, people, yeah. you know, people grow up, people get different interests,
mm-hmm.
form new groups of friends, learn like. Which is good. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's good that you like meet new people and stuff, but it's important not to let go of the good things.
I remember we would always, I remember walking down the street, like home from a party, me and you, when you were talking about like all these people, like I always hear like, this was probably summer after freshman year of college, and you were talking about like, I hear all people from college talk about how like they're not friends with their high school friends, and like how the college friends are the ones you'll have forever, but like, I don't see that happening with us. Like, we're going to be friends forever. Like, you guys are always going to be my best friends. And I was like, yeah, like, totally.
Mm-hmm.
And then what the fuck happened? From your perspective, what happened? Be blunt and is calling me as an asshole as much as you want.
All right. Well, yeah, just the way it was, like, certain people weren't friends with all the people, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that led to
division.
When
you have a group of people who are friends, it's going to be hard for every one of those people to be friends. So then when you have one who's friends with one and one who's not friends with one, sometimes sides are chosen.
Yeah.
And then there's like a gradual splitting.
And then that
it's like, oh, if that person is associated with that person, then maybe I don't want to hang out with that person, even though I don't not like that person. And even though maybe I've been friends with that person forever, you know?
Yeah. Well, I was more of a person that tried to just keep it and kind of keep it all together and bring people together where people who didn't want to be brought together. And for me, it's like all that change was like not good, but like,
yeah.
But like, I also didn't respect that like people have their own opinions, that people don't like people, people don't, and that's life.
And see, I think that you looked at it that way, but it was more of, okay, so we have these 9 guys, 10 guys sometimes that we'll get together and pregame with before trying to go out at night, and we'll all try to go figure out, find something to do. This is like, you know, summer after freshman year of college, or summer going into freshman year of college, or, you know, during Christmas break of freshman year or sophomore year. Mm-hmm. When you come home from school, especially in a town as small as ours, when everyone's home, we get back together with our high school friends, and we're still too young to go out to a bar, so there's still maybe house parties that are happening of what you do when we're home. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So there'd be like 9 or 10 guys who'd come go to your house pretty much to pregame and hang out before we would go out. And my mindset was always like, if we're with this many people, we're not going to be allowed at a house party. Let's try to keep it small, regardless of the fact that I don't have anything against this person or these people. And that's why I was an asshole, because I valued going to a party where there would be people there who I wasn't nearly as close with as the people who would be in that 10. But I sacrificed not being as good of friends with some of those other people, because that would make us have more of a chance of going to that bigger party. How fucking dumb is that? Just that's like, that is what started everything. The separation.
Yeah.
Just that mindset of, oh, that person who's here with us, he's not going to be invited to the party. People really don't like him. So why is he here? That's what I would say. And then eventually it got to the point of, all right, guys, like, I'm not going to lie, I would straight up say it. And then some of our other friends would try to like, you know, not be straight up with it. But I'd be like, listen, I've said it before. I said it a bunch of times. The amount of people who are here, we're not all going to get invited to a party. So I would do the fucking asshole thing of like, I'm going to see if I can get in, and maybe like one other person, 2 other people. If you guys want to see, you can get in. It's not my fault that you guys want to hang out, because I would always go into those pregames of like, why are there so many people here? Why did Bo invite this many people? He knows that I'm not going to be happy about that. He knows that I'm not going to be happy about that. And he knows that with this many people here, there's going to be a less likely chance that we're going to be able to all to go a party. So we're going to have to separate. Oh, maybe he doesn't care about that because he wants to hang out with the people who are his best friends. And he values that more than actually going to a fucking party that now we don't even remember.
Yeah.
It isn't even that important to us now. You know what I'm saying? That is literally what separated everything.
Pretty much.
Literally what started something that fucking stupid.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, because like that's the thing. For me, like, I got it that like, odds are none of us, like not all of us were going to get in. I figured I'd rather try than leave people out. Mm-hmm. That was just kind of the way I looked at it, because they're like, all you guys were my best friends and I'm not leaving anyone out.
Mm-hmm.
That was just.
And to be honest, I think some of the rationale I had then too was, there actually are some people within this 10 person group who are at those pregames with you who I'm not as close with as I am with some of the people who will be at that party. There were some people at that party in other groups of guy friends who kept up more of a connection with me throughout like the freshman year of college than some of the people who were in my close group of friends, quote unquote. So it'd be like, well, like, I'm not going to not get invited to this party because I'm with these 9 other people. That was my thinking. But now it's just like, fuck. But now we're like all starting to kind of...
Yeah, it's starting to come back. Starting to come back together. But it's like, it's weird, like, you, but like, no matter what it starts from, you see it with everyone. Well, not everyone, a lot of people though.
Yeah.
I mean, for instance, I was at the Yankee game a couple weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw someone there, and he's like, I'm with this kid. And I was like, oh, where's like all these guys? And
yeah.
They're like, oh, we don't talk anymore.
Really? Do I know these people?
Yeah.
Okay, I have to tell me after.
And it's like, oh, well, we don't talk to like, so it's just like, oh.
How the fuck did that happen?
So it's like, and he's like, oh, it just kind of like,
yeah.
Just like everyone, you know? And
certain
like,
interests of what's most important to people.
Yeah. People change. People have different things, like,
things they value.
And, yeah. So you just, and I thought it was like just us, like, that mm-hmm. we were all so tight and just splitting, but like, you see it with everyone.
Mm-hmm.
And I see it from my friends from college. Like they have similar kind of things that go on. People just grow apart, which is weird that it's called growing apart.
Because
growth is usually a good thing.
Mm-hmm.
But also there's all the thing of communication too.
Mm-hmm.
I know I didn't communicate well with any of you guys.
Yeah, I didn't communicate well with anyone really, even the people who I like when I came back. I would hit up more than you.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing I would always say to you is like, it's not like I replaced you with anybody.
Mm-hmm.
I heard that in a lot. It was Mark Maron with Louis C.K. They had a podcast where that's like known as like one of the best podcasts of all time, where they were kind of like repairing a friendship. And Mark Maron says to Louis, he's like, it's not like I replaced you with anyone. It's not like he has more friends. And that was the thing to me. It was like, I have less friends now. Like, it's not like, oh, I'm going to hang out with this person instead of Bo. It's just like, I keep in touch with this one friend from school when I'm home, and then when I'm not home, I keep up with like three people. It's not like I'm mm-hmm. keeping up with this person now instead of you. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It just was like a very slow, gradual.
Until the point it was like we see each other like once every couple months, and it's like, oh, hey, man, how's it going?
Yeah.
And then
we try to pretend like it's not weird or awkward.
Oh, it's so weird.
It's like the same thing.
Yeah, it was so weird.
And then I remember, yeah, just recently, I said, where we were like, we need to talk. I said something like about myself, and you were like, not on the podcast. We need to like have a conversation. I think it was like me complaining about not being happy or some shit. Like, you remember that? I forget what it was, but, and then that made me realize like, how did I miss, and this is another line Mark Maron says to Louis C.K., how did I miss your entire life? Like, how did I miss, and it's not your entire life, how did I miss the past 2-3 years?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, but
of your life.
Yeah.
How did that even happen? Because I got to the point of like, and to be honest, it's what the thing that made me realize that is your dad passing. I was just like, wait, what? Where? I have nothing to even like reference in the past 3 years of like how to even approach this. How did I miss the past 3 years of Bo's life?
Yeah, man, I don't know. Like, it's like, I mean, it's a two-way street, though, you know? How did I miss your last like, 3 years, you know?
We got comfortable with, like, it just being
it just,
that.
Like, we just kind of let it be, like, I don't know, just kind of let it be.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if it was, like, out of anger or whether it was out of just, like...
To be honest, out of me, it was out of pure just social laziness. It was like... My thought was always like, okay, if I'm going to stop hanging out with these people, that's going to compromise my friendship with Bo. And that was the one thing where I was like, wow, like that, I do not want that to happen. Like, I don't want that to happen. And then it would get things that would make me want to stop hanging out with those people would happen more and more. And then you would always continuously be a partial casualty. And then over time, you being a partial casualty of that made it become a complete casualty. You mm-hmm. know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Whereas like people maybe that you more associated with were the initial, okay, I'm okay with like not being friends with them anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But, oh, that means that maybe I can't be friends with Brian anymore. I don't want that. And then it got to the point of like, I guess I'm not really keeping up with Bri that much anymore. Yeah. And then it got to the point where it was like, all right, that's I guess that's a thing. Now it would take more energy to try to fix it rather than just letting it leave where it is.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? More energy and effort.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I guess it was like, from us, or like for me, it was like, oh, like, I'll try to hang out with them tonight. No, nothing.
Meaning you would text like, us it was, and it was wouldn't
it was, yeah, or like you would answer and be like, oh, yeah, like we'll do this. And then,
because then you would crickets. Text us and I would, we wouldn't answer because we'd be like, how do we even go about this? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's as simple as like, yeah, man, let's hang out. But like to us, it was like, we got to climb this awkward mountain now. We got to, you know, yeah. As like a 20-year-old kid, we have to be like, okay, let's try to fix this and act as if nothing happened. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Well, I was like, for me too, like it was whenever I would get texts from you guys, it was like, all right, this is going to be weird.
Yeah.
You know, it's like something like, you know, you want to do, but at the same time, it's just easier not to.
Mm-hmm.
So like sometimes I would just be like, there were a couple times that I definitely could have came over and like went over to Zach's or something, hung out with you guys. And I was just like, nah.
Yeah.
Nah, because unless I'm drunk, it's going to be awkward.
Yeah. And wasn't that like splitting? Wasn't that kind of separation happening? Wasn't that coinciding with like some of the issues, struggles you were having at school? What was that? What was going on there?
Oh, was school like...
Well, there was like a chunk of time where you were just like, something was...
Oh, like it was like, my sophomore year was my best year.
Sophomore year?
Yeah.
Because that was when it was starting.
It was starting to split. Like, college was a big adjustment for me that I never wanted to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm glad I went to college, obviously. I had a lot of fun times, made some great
friends.
You
initially, like, always didn't want to do it?
No, I had no interest in going to college.
Yeah.
I wanted to be a Marine. Or if I wasn't a pro athlete, I wanted to be a Marine. But yeah, Cheryl does not allow that.
Your mother was like, no.
No, but, yeah, so, like, once we got to college, it was, like, fun at first. But then I was like, oh, I don't know. Like, got a little homesick sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you get to college and you get a little homesick and then you go home and then home's not the same. Home isn't home anymore.
How so for you? Was it because of the friends?
Well, it's like all the things that you had such great times with, mm-hmm. like they're gone. Well, like not that they're gone, like but mm-hmm. they're not happening anymore. They're changed.
Mm-hmm.
You know, all of us weren't hanging out together. All of us weren't like having good times together. If any, there was a lot of times if we did hang out, there was a lot of fighting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was just like...
Between us, was there?
Yeah, towards the end.
Dude, you remember the first, what I call as like the first destruction of the bros? Bros was the name of our group of friends in high school. Every unique group of friend had a name so that people could just be like, oh, invite the bros or invite the dudes or invite... So you wouldn't have to say, oh, invite Joe and them.
Mm-hmm.
You could be like, oh, I know who all those people are. But anyway, it was Memorial Day weekend. The summer after freshman year of college, and it was all of us, and remember all that shit that happened that
yeah.
was just bad?
That was, yeah.
I remember I was trying to flirt with a girl who was going out with someone in our group of friends just because I didn't like that they were together and being an asshole. And I would pretend like I wasn't, that I was just talking to her, but I was like legitimately flirting with her. And he got mad at me for that. And then I remember you and Kyle, who liked the same girl, yeah. thought I was trying to talk to that girl. And you both got mad at me for that. And then someone found out that someone hooked up with someone else's girl. And then it just was like,
it was just madness.
Explosion.
A lot of petty bullshit.
Because we all coming into it, like knew that there was...
There was friction beforehand.
Friction beforehand, but there wasn't there was just a very small crack, gradual. There
wasn't mix lots of alcohol in a house.
And we were like, all right, it was at that time it was just a small crack.
Yeah.
Like it was not any separation yet. It was just maybe starting to look like that might happen.
Yeah.
And then we were like, all right, we're all together for the first time in a while. Let's see if we can, you know, have some fun. And instead of repairing it, it just
made it worse. Yeah.
And a lot of it had to do with me being a cocksucker. I was a fucking asshole.
I mean, everyone was an asshole to each other.
I got punched in the face that night by someone.
Did you?
Mm-hmm.
Shit.
Do you know by who? It was by one of our friends.
Yeah. I forget who punched you in the face, but now.
You pulled
him
off.
Holy shit. Yeah, now I do. Okay, yep. Yep, absolutely. I remember this now.
I think it was only because I was flirting with that girl. Flirting with her. Flirting with his girl.
I forgot about that. Damn. Yeah.
Or maybe we just like got in an argument about something.
Yeah, I actually, I was like searching through texts the other day because I was trying to find one of my prospects for like my job because I'm sales. Text them. And then I come across this one from like whatever year it was, and I'm looking and I was like, oh, he was like, dude, you tackled so-and-so last night. I'm like, what the fuck happened that night? I had no idea. Now you saying that totally just brings it like.
Oh, that was that night?
Yeah.
Me and you? It was my text?
No. It was me and another person's text. It said, oh, you just tackled that kid.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck. I had zero recollection of it, but now like.
Just now you remember?
100% back.
So yeah, that was the. See, because like, I don't even know if you heard this, but on one of my previous podcasts, I talked about this idea. I talked about friendship, and I talked about how there was a friend who, I talked about you, but I didn't say your name.
Mm-hmm.
I talked with another guest how there was a friend who I like was really good friends with who we just had a falling out and we're trying to repair it. And I would just text you every month and be like, I'm an asshole. I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. And you'd be like, why? I'd be like, oh, I haven't texted you. And you'd be like, oh, it's a two-way street. And then another month would go by. And I would text you again.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm an asshole. Again. It was just there were continuous for like a year of like me apologizing. But the thing I talked about was, you know, I talked to Stav about this a lot too. He said that he heard this quote about how if you're friends with someone for 7 years... On average, if you're friend with someone from that long, usually you'll be friends with them for the rest of your life, right? And then I said, but is that true for childhood? Because like,
yeah.
Because if you're friends with someone from, you know, age 10 to age 17, is that like real friendship? Because
are you friends because you're just in the same area or there's all sorts of shit.
And because we don't really know who we are yet. We're not even people. You know mm-hmm. what I'm saying? We're just like little kids with no idea of what's going on. And we still are like little, we technically still are little kids who have no idea what's going on. Mm-hmm. I have no idea of what life is going to bring that would make me think of what a friend is in a different way. But does it count when you're 12? Is that like a real friendship? Because like, what is the way in which you're actually connecting with someone other than just, you know what I'm saying? So then by the time you're 18, 19, it might be like, wow. I am totally different than this person. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But shouldn't that longevity, shouldn't that be like, okay, we've been through this much, so
yeah, I mean,
maybe we should still try to work on this regardless of the fact that...
Yeah, I mean, I've heard that quote, but I've also heard the quote that was like, on average, like your friend group changes every X amount of years.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, oh, well, maybe that's just this
mm-hmm.
at the same time. And like, you try to repair it, but like, also just kind of accept that might be the way it is.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more your one. But that like, at the time, like maybe I was like just thinking, I guess that's like kind of life. Like that might be how things go.
Mm-hmm. Did you ever have a time of like while it was done? Like while there was that separation where you were like, this is ridiculous. Did you have the realization of like, why is this even happening? Or is it just like, this is happening?
A lot of it was like, I knew why it was happening and what was going on. Mm-hmm. But I thought it was just fucking stupid.
Yeah.
I was like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
But like when we like extend the olive branch from like you did to me and I did to you and like things and like to everyone, you know.
Sometimes the branches don't ever get to come together.
Yeah, sometimes you don't grab the branch or I don't grab the branch and like and so it just kind of gets set in how it is.
Mm-hmm.
So it just kind of stays there. But
well, can we agree to, you know, try to, we're good.
Yeah, we're good.
We can agree to try to. How are we going to be proactive? How are we going to try to work through this thing, you know?
Yeah, I mean, just try to hang out more and make it the way it was.
Mm-hmm. It's never going to be the way it was.
Oh, I know. Well, not the, because we're not children anymore, but but like still just try to have good times together, you know?
Yeah.
That's all it is.
We went out last weekend for my birthday.
I had fun.
It was a good time.
I had a blast. I was fucking gone.
You were gone?
Oh, yeah.
That was the first time I drank a little bit for it in a while. But, yeah, man, I love you, you know?
Love you too, big guy.
And, you know, mind if we put this conversation out for people to hear?
Yeah, go for it.
Be cool with it?
Yeah. It's not like we put, like, too much crap in there, drop names too much. And, like,
no, we were very cautious. We we dodged a lot of lasers. We were like, we just went through. We were
maybe,
like,
maybe we think we did, but then wasn't hearing it. Who knows?
I'll listen back. Yeah. But yeah, man, I'm at a place right now where it's like, wow, I care about this kid a lot, and I don't want to not be friends with him. I want to be friends with him. It's fucking stupid that ever happened because, you know, we've been through a lot together.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure.
But thanks for doing this.
Yeah.
So, yeah, we always end with our hopes for the future. Well, here's the thing. Are you scared of getting older?
No. I'm kind of like Billy Madison in the sense where you see kids, stay there as long as you
cherish
can.
Cherish it. Are you scared? Because someone who's afraid of change.
I'm definitely better adjusted to it now.
Mm-hmm.
Because the way I was hit a month and a half ago,
mm-hmm.
it's like life is change.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes it's changes you control. Sometimes it's changes you can't control. But change is inevitable.
Mm-hmm.
So you got to roll with it.
Yep.
So, I mean, there's things to be frightened of. There's things not to. But I'm optimistic.
So, like, where are you at right now with, like, near future, long-term future? Do you have any specific thoughts? Or are you
specific
just gonna
goals
try
to, or, like,
Or just, like, what? Where are you at right now with, like, when you think about the future? Or do you not think about it? Do you think about it more now?
Yeah, I think about it more now than I used to. I think I'm on a good, like, with my job, I'm on a good track. Like,
mm-hmm.
I love my job, love the people there,
mm-hmm.
making some great new relationships, new friends. We have a meeting with New York City FC on Tuesday.
No way.
Yeah, with like the head honchos there. So, and I'm like, they want the upper people want me to come along because they know I'm the soccer guy and to like.
Really?
Yeah, so just to, like, to learn, so.
That's cool.
So that'd be cool. Like, that's looking good on the career aspect.
Yeah.
But, like, what I want to do with my life, who knows? I just want to ultimately have a good family,
mm-hmm.
Raise some kids,
mm-hmm.
you know, be a good father.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's all. That's the only real goal that I have. Like, that I know is not going to change. It's like, I want to have a good family.
Mm-hmm.
Like, raise some kids that my dad would be proud of.
Well, I think you'll, something tell me you'd be able to do that, my friend. You know?
Yeah. I hope.
All right, yeah. Man. Well, thanks again for doing this. Appreciate it, and I appreciate you. All right, that is it. Thank you to everyone who listened. Thank you to Bo for coming on and being able to find enough strength to talk about some of the stuff that must have been, you know, hard to talk about, and thank you for being my friend. I hope everyone enjoyed that. I am going to LA soon in a few weeks. I'm interviewing someone that I'm excited about, and hopefully I'll get to interview some other people while I'm over there, and I'm excited to finally go to LA for the first time. It's gonna be fun. Hollywood! But, yeah, so that's happening. But, yeah, that's it. Hope everyone has a good week.